typology of sorts, we will say. The part of Isha Halacha that we're going to try to discuss tonight is probably the most difficult and ethereal part of the whole work. It's not really an appropriate selection for one's first foray into the Rav's Ksavim in terms of its, again, etherealness, abstractness. It's not typical, and if due to my inadequate or even inaccurate explanation, it doesn't resonate, you shouldn't mistakenly take that as a representative reaction to the Rav's Ksavim. The Rav begins his discussion of tshuva. I hope that many of you had a chance to learn these pages with the Minchas Chinuch's famous kasha. That the Rambam writes in the beginning of Hilchos Tshuva that vidui is ma'akev. That there's no kapara without vidui. A person does tshuva, but he isn't misvada, so he does not receive atonement. In Kiddushin, famously, if a person is Mekadosh Sa'isha, Amanasha Anit Tzadik Gomor. So then the din is, and the Rambam paskins this in Hilchos Ishus, that Afilu Rosha Kol Yomav, even though we know he has an infamous track record, he's a Rosha Kol Yomav, and we're standing there between the, we know that just recently he engaged in a Maisa Rishus, and we didn't hear any vidui. Then Afal Pichain, she's Sofik Mekudashas, the Isha will be Sofik Mekudashas, Shema hear her tshuva b'liba. Because maybe he had her who had tshuva. But vidui is ma'akev. So the Minchas Chinuch already answers, the Rav says it in his own way, which by definition implies a certain degree of panim chadoshos, that there are two different concepts. There's tshuva, which affects, in the Rav's words, hafkas chalosh shem rosha. It suspends, if until this point, because of his actions, his behavior, he was a Rasha. So tshuva is mafkia that. Tshuva suspends that. It transforms his status from that of a Rasha to a Tzaddik. And then there's also tshuva as a source of atonement. The din that vidui is ma'akev is only in that second context of when tshuva is coming as a mechaper. But for tshuva, per se, is really independent of kapara. Tshuva is the yields kapara, but tshuva itself is something which is not synonymous with kapara. It's independent of kapara. And that's what's reflected in the Halachin Kiddushin that the Rambam himself paskins, that Shemahira Velivo Tshuva. Because Tshuva, again, is something distinct and independent from Kapara. It's not that the definition of Tshuva is the attainment of Kapara. No, the definition of Tshuva is the Hafkas Shem Rasha, is that change that's affected. There are, I think the Rav just felt that this raya itself is so compelling that he's not marich with others, but that there are other sort of reflections and indications of this as well. So for instance, if you look in the Sefer Achinuch, in Parshas Noso, for the mitzvah of vidui, The Sefer Chinuch quotes the same pasuk as the Rambam from Parshas Noso v'Hizvadu. So when the Sefer Chinuch tells us again what the formula for Vidui is, he includes Bakoshas Slicha u'Mechila within the Nusach HaVidui. And the truth is that in Sefer Mitzvahs, the Rambam also does that. But in the Yad, he doesn't. In the Yad, the Ikar Shel Vidui is Chatosi Avisi Pashati Lufanecha, Osisi Kach Vekach, V'harei Nichamti U'Boshti B'Masai, U'L'Olam Eini Choze L'Dov Azeh. Adka. Zehu Ikar Shel Vidui. Where's the Bakoshas Mechila? There isn't any Bakoshas Mechila. How can that be? No, Heim Heim Advarim. That tshuva is something distinct and independent from kapara. Yes, tshuva is that which yields kapara. But it's not that's the end all and the be all of what tshuva is. No, the essence of tshuva is independent of kapara, and that's why the Rambam doesn't include in the Yad. Within the Ikar Shel Vidui, the Bakoshas Slicha u'Mechila. It's also interesting that on the level of Tami Mitzvahs, the Rambam's understanding of, again, this differentiation of Tshuva from Kapora is also reflected. The Rambam says that all the mitzvos which he included in Sefer Hamada are mitzvos which reflect, reinforce, inculcate fundamental beliefs. So, of course, the end of Sefer Hamada is Sechos Tshuva. So the Rambam in Hebrew translation says as follows: Barur shegam hatshuva b'kutza zot, klomar, shehi min hadeot shebil adeha emuna behen lo tistader mitziutam shel anashim b'nei Torah. The belief in the existence of tshuva, the possibility of tshuva, is indispensable for religious life. You can't have religious life without belief in the possibility and efficacy of tshuva. Why? Mipnei shebehechreyach adam toev v'nechshal. It's virtually inevitable that a person is going to err and stumble. Alternately, shemitoch boruto, out of ignorance, huma adif deya omida shebe'emet einam adifim. He cultivates the wrong mida. O sheta'ava uka as govim alav, where he allows himself to be overwhelmed by a taiva, by anger. V'ilu he'emin ha'adam, let's pay especially close attention to this sentence, Rav Elsai. I mean, don't sleep for the rest of it, but special attention for this sentence. V'ilu he'emin ha'adam, she'shever zeh lo nitan le'ichoy le'olam. Again, this is a contrapositive, right? If a person would have believed that this fracture, shever, right? This fracture, lo nitan le'ichui la'olam, could never heal, could never come back together, right? The bone could never heal and grow back together. Haya matmid b'ti'iyato. So then he would just persist in his being off course. V'ulai haya mosif al meryo. And what's more, he would probably compound what he'd done until now. Shalo notra lo etza. So notice that the Rambam doesn't say that if a person would have thought that he can't be forgiven. Rambam says if a person would have thought he can't be healed. He didn't say anything about forgiveness. What would have the depressing thought that understandably would have overwhelmed us all is if the person can't heal from the fracture of chet, so we would have disappeared. Didn't say anything about kapar. Didn't say anything about kapar. And this is what the mitzvahs of bringing karbonos and saying vidui and telling us to fast on Yom Kippur and then all this is to reinforce our belief in what the Torah tells us, that there's the possibility and the efficacy of tshuva. But again, that same differentiation of tshuva from kapar. Then the Rav continues. Again, he refers to, he defines tshuva as an act of self-creation. Because of that transformation that is effected through the tshuva. V'kan mofia ha-hevdel ha-ikari ben musag ha-tshuva b'halacha l'zeh shel ish ha-das ha-klali. And here's where the main difference emerges between the concept of tshuva in halacha to that of the general religious conception. Zeha acharon, the latter, meaning the general man of religion, right? Homo religiosus. Tofes ad rayon ha-tshuva mibchinat kapara. In general, outside of halacha, so this distinction is not recognized. They identify tshuva with kapara. Tshuva is a tris b'fnei onesh. It's a shield against punishment. It's eina yotzeret u'mechadeshet klum. It's not something creative. Nafsho hoga umitabelt al yom etmol ki avar al hazman sheshaka kvar betom hanishia. He feels tortured and laments something which is a bygone. Al ma'asim shecholfu kitzel, that passed like a shadow. Al uvdot sheyafshal leshanotan ulahamiran ba'acherot, over facts which cannot be altered. Masha en kein isha halacha. And in here, it's very, very important to notice that in terms of both the process of tshuva and the experience of tshuva, the Rav explains that this chiddush has very, very practical repercussions. This chiddush of understanding, differentiating tshuva from kapara has very, very concrete practical implications. Isha halacha einenu mitmaker lebechi uletuga. He doesn't give himself over to sort of unlimited and open-ended crying and sorrow. Eino noshechet v'saro v'eino chovel b'atzmo. He doesn't engage in self-flagellation. Eino mitmaker l'sigufei haguf v'inuyei hanefesh. Again, he doesn't give himself over to some kind of self-imposed suffering. Isha halacha asuk biyitzira atzmit ubebivriyat anochi chadash. He's creating a new I, a new identity. And here comes, here's where it becomes ethereal. And here's where we have to, try to get a little bit of a handle on this. Ein hu mitcharet, again, the who is the isha halacha, he doesn't regret, he doesn't have remorse al ha'avar shekvar oth v'ne'alam. He's not regretting a past that no longer exists, that has flown away and disappeared. Ela ba'avar ha'kayam adayin. No, a past that still exists, that lingers. V'hamishtarvev, and it inserts itself. V'hanichnas l'toch ha'hoveh v'atid. It enters, it inserts itself into the present and future. Yesh, I'm skipping a few lines. Yesh avar chai v'yesh avar met. There's a past that remains alive. There's a past that's dead, that's gone. Yesh atid, there's a future, shalom notzar adayin, which has not yet been created. V'yesh atid hakayam kvar. There's a future which already exists. Says the Rav, as long as, and again, let's just say the words first and then try to understand them. As long as one sees the past as avar ayin, that the past is gone, is nothing, and the ha'atid adayin is not yet, so minukudat mabat zo, from this vantage point, ein hatshuva ela musag reik v'navuv, it's empty and hollow. Let's try to understand this line. Eifshar lehitcharet al ha'avar shekvar meit v'shaka b'tahom ha'nishia v'ein machlitim b'yachas el atid shelo, in quotation marks, nolad, close quotations, adayin. It's impossible to regret a past that no longer exists. It's meaningless to resolve about a future which has not yet been born. Why not? Why can't a person regret the past? I think we do it all the time without having this this very novel understanding that the Rav is suggesting. What's, I think, axiomatic here and very intuitive, but I think the Rav doesn't spoon feed it necessarily, but it's very intuitive. Clearly, tshuva means coming to terms with the past. Right? You can't really talk about tshuva without it's a reckoning with the past, coming to terms with the past. So there's one way to come to terms with the past is to sort of beseech HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we should be forgiven for what happened in the past. That's sort of one way of coming to terms with the past. But that clearly isn't Halacha's understanding of tshuva, because again, Halacha differentiates tshuva from kapara. That's why that kashi the Rav begins with is so crucial and so fundamental. So if it's not just a question of asking for forgiveness, So how does tshuva function? I mean, you can't change facts. If a person is a rasha by virtue of having done A, B, and C, and you can't change the past because it's past, it's gone. So how does tshuva act? And how does charata impact the past? How can charata can't impact what's? I threw a ball wildly and broke my neighbor's window. The window's broken. So what is charata? What is the, again? So if charata is just a way, a basis for pleading for forgiveness, so we understand. But if it's something that we're differentiating from that, so what's the meaning? How is it meaningful as something which is independent and differentiated from kapara? And so too, how is a person forgiven in the present based on a commitment for the future if it hasn't happened yet? Let's say if you get in trouble in school, so they put you on probation, and they say, well, we'll see. If you'll behave in the future, so then we'll forgive you. You can't forgive when the person hasn't demonstrated it. And yet tshuva does work that way, right? So how does that work? So the Rav says, and again, here come the very challenging words to understand. Yesh, again, there's many sentences like this. Yesh avar chai, there's a past that's alive. V'yesh avar meit, there's a past that's dead. Yesh atid shelo notzar adayin, there's a future which hasn't yet been created. V'yesh atid hakayam kvar, and there's also a future that exists already. Rather than elaborates them. So kimedume, what he means and what he's saying is the following. The past can be viewed in two ways or on two levels. You can look at sort of the facticity. You can look at what happened. So if a person ate breakfast this morning and didn't make a bracha rishona, that happened. The fact of the past happened. And in that sense, it's a person can't go back and relive that moment on a factual level. We need to stretch our minds here, Mavasa. But he can go back and redefine the significance of that moment. And the reason he can do that is because a person carries his past with him. So the moment is not there, but what happened is part of the person, is in the present. Maybe let's, I don't know if the following marshal helps. It's in two parts, so good. If it doesn't, so sorry. Let's say the marshal is like this. Let's say you're taking a train from New York to Boston. So as you go, so you pass New Haven and you pass Hartford, when you go heading north from New Haven to Hartford, so you're no longer in New Haven, but New Haven's still there, right? The fact that you're not there, that doesn't mean that the tracks behind you have disappeared. New Haven disappeared. Let's now tweak that a little bit. Let's say that as you're traveling on the train, so when, there was a farmer's market in New Haven and the train stopped in New Haven and you jumped out of the train and you went and you made some purchases in New Haven. So when you reach Hartford, so you reach it, you can't change the fact that you took the train trip from New York to Boston via New Haven and Hartford. The facticity can't be changed. And in that sense, that's the way we always think of the past. But what the Rav is saying is, but the past, in terms of what a person lives on within the person, he carries his past actions and experiences with him. And in that sense, he can't change the facticity. He can't change the factualness, but he can change the significance. He can't relive, but he can redefine. Maybe one way to say it is that the time is gone, but all the events are very much alive. Similarly, with regard to the future, the time of the future hasn't arrived. The tracks are there. You can still be in Hartford. The tracks going further north to Boston are already there. The time hasn't arrived, but the destiny, right, which the destiny is already in the present. I have no doubt that if we could be privy, let's say, to the inner life of someone like Rav Kook, he experienced life. He personally experienced life as moving towards Geula. There's no question about that. He experienced the present in light of the future. If this mashal helps, I don't know. All these mashalim, none of them are perfect. But you know, they have these Shabbos lights, right? So I think the way they work is there's sort of a screen that you slide that covers up the light. So you can have a light that's on, and then you can turn the light off. Then it's no longer on. Or you can have a light which is behind the screen. But there's a difference, right? Either way, it's dark. Either way, it's dark, but there's a difference. So the future is the future, but there's a difference between whether you think of it as, you know, the light is not on, or whether there's somewhat of a screen there, and that latter understanding is one that again, the time of the future hasn't arrived, but. The destiny of the future is present already. The Chafetz Chaim lived his life that Mashiach was around the corner. It was a present reality in his life. It was a present reality that he was hearing footsteps, and not that he was hallucinating. He heard footsteps. Ikvas of the Mashiach. He heard footsteps. It was a future. The time of the future isn't arrived, but the future resonated and is present in the present. The Rav says ultimately that's what it's this conception which underlies and makes tshuva possible. If the past, if we carry within us our past, so no, we can't change the fact of the past, but we can change the significance of the past. You can change the past. And that's what the Rav says. When the Gemara in Yuma says that Zdonos Nasos Kizchuyos, that's what it means. It means that because the past lives on into the present, you can change the past. And that's what the Rav says is the basis for tshuva. And I've been thinking about this for 40 years, and it needs a lot of. I haven't finished. It needs a lot of reflection. But it's what's just to sort of now maybe reiterate and review and maybe be able to understand better the way all of this translates very practically into the experience and process of tshuva is the following. What the Rav depicts as the sort of general religious conception of tshuva that identifies tshuva with kapara, but doesn't operate with this chiddush of the past lingering into the present, that the moment is gone, but the events live on in the person. So that basically means that tshuva is an impossible task, because at the end of the day, what the person did wrong remains, which is why the extremes that the Rav describes are sort of a natural reaction. Nafsho hogan nechayim umitabelat al yom etzwal ki avar. He's mourning over a day, over a yesterday that has passed. Al hazman, over time, shashaka kvar b'tom anishiya. Right? It has set in the depths. Al ma'asim shacholfu ketzel al uvdot she'i afshar l'shanotan ulahamiran ba'acherot. So, l'fichach zakuku l'chasadim merubim. Because basically, whatever he'll do will be inadequate. Because at the end of the day, he wants to sort of erase that blemish, but the blemish can't be erased because you can't rewrite the past. Which is why the extremes that later. Let's see if I can find it. Sorry. Powerful line where he describes that, but I'm sorry, I'm not seeing it right now. Masha and Cain, given this understanding that, you know, whatever the person, again, use the mushal of what the person, the acquisitions, what a person purchased while he was on the first part of the train trip, as a moshel for how past actions endure in the present, so that allows a person to take a change the past, because again, not the facticity of the past, but the significance of the fact. Of the past. He doesn't relive it, but he redefines it. And in that sense, so again, tshuva is not this impossible task, which therefore plunges a person into the depths of despair, but is this creative act. And that's why eino mitmaker the sigufei haguf ve'inuyei nefesh. You know, maybe there's a moshel as follows. I think in physics, I think there's the law of conservation of mass. And I think what that law says is that matter is indestructible. It can undergo physical, and any physics majors here? It can undergo physical change, it can undergo chemical change, But you can't destroy it. You can't destroy it. It's indestructible. That's what it means, conservation. So the past, this past is indestructible, again, because the moment is gone. The facts are there, but the fact that there's indestructibility doesn't preclude change. And so in that sense, a person can't destroy the past, but he changes the past. It does undergo change because a person's past, it's true of us individually on a personal level, and then it's true collectively on a national level of Knesset Yisrael, as the Rav goes on to talk about here, because the past lives on into the present where the person, think of the moshel, maybe of the acquisitions, as the train was moving down the tracks. Okay, good job, Simon Tov.